Hey, everyone. Yep, this is Winning at Life. We're here, starting out the year, the decade, with live news and financial talk. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. If you'd like to join the conversation, because it's live radio, 504-260-0995. You can reach out to us through the Winning at Life app. Quick and easy download. But you can text, email, call the show as well, listen to podcasts, and much more.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. Welcome to the Roaring 20s. And I don't say that lightly. So far, out of all the market days, 100% of them have ended with record closes in all three indices. I know I'm kind of spoiling the number segment here, but hey, you couldn't ask for a better start to the year, couldn't ask for a better start to the decade. And coming up in the number segment, you'll hear more details. This is the best start to a year as far as the markets are concerned since 2013. But Gregory, we need to talk about what's going on in January. You know, we've been kind of swimming around in the holidays, but we hit the ground running. So let's get back to business. If you got a question, 504-260-0995, call in, ask Gregory, because we're going to start talking about some events we have coming up. Last I heard, the first event on the books is full. That's the Social Security Lunch and Learn that is scheduled for next week. And people, you can still get on the waiting list for this. What happens is, you know, you show up at 11:30, you get a box lunch, and then you learn about the rules of Social Security, a bunch of which have changed in the 2010s. And you get some questions answered. Really, what people are looking for, we know what you're looking for. You're trying to find out what you have to do between yourself and your spouse to get the maximum amount of benefit between both of the checks for the longest amount of time, right? And everyone's situation happens to be a little bit different. So this is where you can start your search and learn some of the rules. And, you know, if we can't get you into this one, we'll schedule another one. And if you're on that waiting list, we'll give you a call when we put another one on the calendar. Is that a deal? Isn't that the deal, Gregory?
Yep, it's a pretty important topic. Everybody has to make decisions regarding Social Security, and we get all kinds of questions. But I have specific things I'm going to cover regarding Social Security, and we'll do a Q&A on the back end as well. But, you know, important things is how to maximize, how to correlate to assets, how to make the right decisions, and much more.
Okay, so that's happening on January 7th. That is coming up just Tuesday, a few days away. 4 days away, 5 days away. A week from Tuesday is going to be January 14th. That's the open house for the Gregory Ricks and Associates Gulfport office. Is this somewhere between a happy hour and a wine and cheese social and just sort of get to know you sort of first day of school introductory event?
Yeah, I just thought it was a fun way to kick off the year and kick off the office and, you know, something real fun and non-threatening. Just come by, check us out, see what's going on, visit with us a little bit, and move on with your evening.
This is a social event, though. This isn't for people looking to do business.
No, we're not doing, we can't do business there. We're not doing business. We're just there to for you to see the office, get to know us a little bit. Some of the team's going to be there. I'm going to be there.
Okay.
And it's just kind of a social atmosphere.
So come hang out at the new office. I mean, new, it's been around for 7 months, but it's on Lorraine Road in Gulfport. If you're in the Mississippi Gulf Coast, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's in that nice little strip mall with the subway and whatnot. So the next day, though, you are getting down to business. That would be January 15th. It's a Wednesday. You're going to be on the North Shore Lake Pontchartrain in the beautiful little hamlet of Madisonville at Keith Young Steakhouse. This is a wine, wisdom, and food experience. This is for people who, I don't know if you want to get down to business, but if you're exploring, if you're curious, if you're looking for more information about that, this is where a lot of people start. Wine, wisdom, and food experience. Who needs to go to that?
If you're serious about accumulating money, you have money saved, you're looking to do something with it, you want to do better, you're thinking of retiring in the future, which probably most everybody has a decision to make on that. It covers so many things, but you know, I'm going to talk about the 50-50 money management philosophy. We're going to talk about the Secure Act. We're going to talk about tax efficiency. So, you know, if all, you know, gosh, all those things probably affect everybody in some form or fashion. And it's a chance to get to know us a little bit better as well. And we're going to give you some foodie tips, some wine tips, and some financial tips. And it's a lot of fun. It's about a 2-hour event. And the food and wine is time served throughout the evening, but it's a really fun event to, I have a blast doing it. So looking forward to doing that.
Now that's the North Shore of Lake Pontchartrain. If you're not familiar with all the little towns there where the causeway gets off on Lake Pontchartrain. So if you're in Kentwood or Macomb or Tylertown on the far reaches, this might be the closest event to you. If you're over in Livingston Parish or Tangipahoa, this is definitely the closest event to you. However, the show goes on the road and will be in New Orleans just a week from there. So I'm talking about January 22nd. That's going to be at Rizzuto's Ristorante and Chop House in New Orleans. It's in the neighborhood of Lakeview, not too far from, you know, that little west end exit that hits both Pontchartrain. I mean, that hits both 610 and the I-10 right after the split. You go up there and you take a left on Harrison, and it's basically at the last stop sign there. Similar experience, though. Wine, wisdom, and food experience. This is just for the New Orleans crowd. You give this similar presentation? I mean, no, none of them are exactly the same, but...
Yeah, it's pretty similar. It's just, it's going to be wine, wisdom, and food Italian style, because we're doing this at an Italian restaurant. So it'll be pretty similar to the Keith Young, but, you know, you can drive a distance if you want to. You don't have to just be in the New Orleans, but as far, you know, it's there because probably it'll attract mostly the New Orleans area, but everybody's welcome if you live in other areas.
All right, so that is January 22nd. There's another Lunch and Learn that's going to be hosted by our buddy, attorney Wes Blanchard. This is going to cover estate planning. That's happening January 27th. Now, the start time, the presentation is going to start at noon, but you can get there about 11:30. Go ahead and get through your box lunch and cover estate planning issues. This is going to be huge now because there's an action item. The laws just changed for 2020, and starting yesterday, the rules around estate planning have changed. IRA distribution, inheritance rules, what have you, IRA pass-through trust. I mean, there's a lot of people who need to go back and make some tweaks and adjustments to their estate plan just from the laws that passed over the holidays.
Yeah, if you have trust as your beneficiaries for your IRAs, this probably is a must attend event to get updates on what's going on. So if you want to attend any of these events, there's one number you have to call. And that's any of the events, or you just want a phone conference with one of the team members or come in for a visit. It's 504-832-9200, and they will book you into whatever event you want. And if we have an off-hours team, you could, in fact, call right now, speak with somebody. They'll take your basic information, and a team member will follow back up with you tomorrow as well. So it's 504-832-9200, and you can go to gregoryricks.com and sign up under the events page. When I speak of signing up, you will get a confirmation call back, and that's important to get that call back. You will need that.
All right, the next thing we're talking about is I'm just going to ask for your grace if you've already heard us talk about this in recent shows, because this is actually so important. We kind of need to do this on a regular basis and come back and hit this over and over for months, because so many important rules around retirement accounts changed starting yesterday. The Secure Act is now the law of the land. Not only was it passed through both houses and signed by the president, it's now been enacted and is law. So there's no more waiting, no more what if. We're not under a two-regime system. This is the new rules. And it makes it tough. You know, it's not really, I feel sorry for you, because you went out and you did the right thing and you learned some of these rules and you got your stuff all together and you got all your ducks in a row, and they turn around a few years later and change the rules on you. But that's one service that we can provide on this show, is help you keeping up with those rules. So first things first, what do they need to know? God, where would you even start? Because different people are going to get hit different ways by this.
You know, speaking about rules and tax laws, just like the tax laws we're under regarding tax brackets, such, we know that's in place for a while, but, you know, when they passed that law that reduced the tax brackets and reduced taxes for individuals, that's not a permanent thing. So what, we're down to maybe 5 years left on that program, I believe, maybe six years left on that. Well, next year, end of this year, it'll be 6 years left. So trying to remember my timelines there. Now, for corporations, it's made permanent. But with that said, the permanent is permanent until they change it. And this temporary that's going to expire or roll back to what it was could become permanent, or they pass a whole new set of rules on that. So don't get overworked up about it. It's just, we work with the rules that are in place, and then we make the adjustments when they change them.
Yeah. And just be sure to check back in with the show every once in a while. If you're around the radio, when we're on, start learning some of these rules, because we don't want you to get caught up in this. John Metairie, you're next up on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, John?
Hey, so the Secure Act, it passed overwhelmingly. I just wanted to get your thoughts on how can any individual in this country make any planning on investments and taxes when for years, if not decades, people put money into IRAs for various reasons, one of which may have been to take advantage of the stretch IRA for their kids and grandkids. And then the government comes in and completely changes things and renders a lot of people's, you know, not retirement planning, but IRA planning and putting money in that vehicle to take advantage of the stretch IRA, and basically renders it almost worthless compared to what it was before. And then they lob an extra 1.5 years where we don't have to take the RMD, which is a joke.
Well, it was, in one way to look at it, where they set these rules, John, is they created a tax increase there. And they were targeting big accounts, because here's what happens for most inherited accounts. Those people go through that money inside of 5 years, except the bigger ones tend to hang around a lot longer because of the stretch and the amount of money there, or structuring using IRA inherited trust to make that money last longer and really take advantage of that. So really what they're trying to do is, gosh, we need you to spend all that money, is kind of what IRS is saying. So they kind of gave us a break on the other side, is, oh, okay, we'll give you a 1.5 year break on RMDs. So that's some of what's there. But it made big changes. And John was commenting about the stretch being taken away and how do you plan? You know, I agree with John. You've got a reason to be upset about that. How do you plan for that? Well, we plan with what the rules are, because we have to plan and make plans, but they're going to cause us to relook at it and rethink about it. So a number of action items for everyone is to reevaluate their beneficiary. Spousal rollovers can be more valuable for tax deferral. You've got tax bracket management. You might should consider Roth conversions, building it more tax-free money. Life insurance should be a big consideration, because there you want to create a stretch. Life insurance can really do that for you as well. So something to think about. And, you know, they're making it a little bit more difficult, but we're up to the challenge. And charitable trusts are something to consider in the mix as well.
You know, it's a back, you hit the nail on the head. It's a backdoor tax increase that is not slapping us in the face for a lot of people that may not understand it well enough. It's a tax increase. And the fact that it passed with such bipartisan support is just a mystery to me. It really hurts the people that have done the right thing for years and decades, trying to save money, stashing it away in retirement programs, which everybody, the government guys like you, everybody says to do. For people that listened and tried to do the right thing and didn't consume the last nickel they earned and be a burden to the government in 30 years, they're sticking it to us hard. And I don't really think that the great majority of the population understand that it is, in fact, a tax increase.
Yeah,
and you know, you hear people saying, oh, it's a Secure Act. Well, that's the biggest misnomer that I've ever heard of.
I'm loving this, I mean, John guy.
This extra 1.5 years of RMD, you know, suspension, which is a joke. That means absolutely nothing with the time value of money, 1.5 years. I think it's a horrible thing to do to the percentage of the population that tried to do the right thing and save for retirement and take advantage of the laws. Now they have a captive audience of people like me that have stashed probably too much money into an IRA, and now they're going to have it stuck to their heirs that were supposed to be able to take advantage of a stretch IRA. Had I known that they'd come in the seventh inning in my life and change the rules, I'd have probably invested outside of an IRA, let the account grow, and take advantage of the step-up in basis.
Yeah, so depending how much time you have, like your individual situation, John, probably some things you can do, but this, you made a great point. It's kind of a wake-up call for everybody. And what I've talked about for years is most people are putting too much in those qualified accounts. They're overweighted there, which is a problem when you start taking that money out, is it's taxed as ordinary income. Now they're forcing it to compress because they make changes along the way. They've reset the RMD tables. The stretch was an original part of IRAs. It was something added on, and it used to be a 5-year window. You had 5 years to take out, so they didn't revert back to that set up, but now we have 10 years to take that money out over. So it's time, you know, I guess it makes work because now we've got to go back and start relooking at all these options and talk to people about so that they understand when they're leaving money behind, make plans for that. So I think estate planning from a financial standpoint of your qualified accounts become even more important.
Andrew and Miro, you're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, sir?
Oh, man, I just had a quick question. I'm looking for some advice for the type of industry that I'm in, and I won't get into all that, but I'm required to have anywhere from 300 to half a million liquid at all times. But, I mean, stock and things of that nature is considered liquid. And right now, it's in the bank. I don't know. I think I'm getting 2% and some change. And I was just wondering if y'all had I seen the S&P, what it did on something based on, you know, those stocks. And I'm like, geez, I don't mind a little risk on something that I could put that in other than, say, just sitting there in a bank, maybe keeping up with inflation if I'm lucky.
Is that money for collateral purposes?
It's not for collateral purposes. It's for certain licenses that I have with HUD and VA and different things. They require just a liquid amount. It don't matter if it's cash or stock, but just something that can be easily converted.
Well, being that it's open, you have a lot of choices there, but that worries me because it's a requirement that you have this value. And it's what it's making me think of is, let's use an example of a margin account. Somebody's using a margin account, which means they're creating debt within their investment account to buy stocks with that margin, and the actual capital in that account is what's creating that. Now, if the markets go down, all of a sudden, they're probably short. And that's what.
Yeah, and I'm aware with that, and I have more than that. So, I mean, I know there's a little bit of risk when it comes to that, but as far as 2020, I'm pretty bullish on it. If that did happen, Lord forbid, I mean, I'd still have my net worth requirements, but once I get over a certain amount of money in the bank, I'm normally putting it to work. You know, I have a nice cushion plus the.
Well, think about it this way, Andrew. Okay. You've got a half a million. You put that number out there as kind of your number range, 300 to 500, but use 500,000. So if you were to say do all equities and the market had a 20% move, you just lost 100 grand that you've got to come up with. Now, my thinking on that, just we're thinking out loud here, is that you might could put a portion of those assets towards some risk, but I would say it would have to be a smaller portion of the assets, something we would have to talk about and work out the percentages of getting the right blend. But I sure wouldn't put everything to equities. I wouldn't put half to equities, but if that makes you feel good to have some of that, like if things went off the
rails. I'm all ears, Gregory. I mean, I doesn't, to me, just something to where I'm a young man. So, and we have a pretty good company, working well. So, just something other than just sitting in the bank. I mean, even if it's a fixed index annuity, which is still, I don't know the whole thing, but I know you can have like a early penalty if you withdraw or whatever, but it's still considered liquid and for what, even if I had to pay a penalty, but I'm not planning on needing it. You know what I'm saying? I think it's money, unfortunately, that has to just be there in some fashion or some type of thing. And so I'm just looking at placing that somewhere other than,
Think you can get a mix of tools that even mostly conservative will probably get you better than what you're doing at bank rates. Cause interest rates are still ridiculously low right now. It just, gosh, we wish we could get much better.
We're actually a mortgage banking operation, so we loving that those cheap rates. But man, I'd love to
bring in business.
And talk. Also, maybe I don't know if y'all like take over company 401ks and things of that nature.
We have some strategies. We actually have a 401k maximizer program to help with those as well.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good deal.
Wow. Hey, give the office a call. Let's have a conversation. You know that office number, 504-832-9200. Thanks for calling, Andrew. You have a great
day. All right, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks, Andrew. All right, so can I just go revisit something you said to the first guy, John?
Yep.
Wasn't that his name? You mentioned as far as losing the stretch, there's different things you could do. You threw out the idea of life insurance, but that, without getting too specific, it sounds like you're already coming up with counter strategies to accomplish the same goal on what's been taken away.
Well, these strategies have been there in the past, but now, because some of them lost their importance because of the stretch being in place where that money, you know, can just last. But, you know, you always have a problem with IRAs and leaving behind giant IRAs. And giant is relative to the person leaving it behind. For old Fred, 500,000 IRAs, huge, okay? Somebody like Romney, you know, I guess $20 million IRA is huge for him, maybe small for him, but that's probably one of the reasons is that previous presidential candidate showed up with a giant IRA and got people to thinking. It was like, oh my gosh, we did not intend for those things to get that big and shelter that kind of money. In this new world, you know, it's commonplace to see $1 million in 401ks. Has kind of become a norm. So that's what, you know, Washington's short on money. They always are short on money. No matter what, they're always short on money. So this was kind of that grab. So going back to life insurance, you know, that life insurance has a unique ability, unique thing about it. It pays a tax-free death benefit. So you can wash a lot of stuff using that the right way.
504-260-0995. If you got any questions on how these rules change what you got going on, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
We are Winning at Life. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. We do this every evening at 7. Hey, we've got a weekend show that runs from 10 to 1. You can join us there as well. We're always talking money at this time. And it's James Parker on the other mic as well. So the big talk right now, once again, is going back to the Secure Act. And there's just give you a rundown. I know we've had a number of callers asking questions, and it's kind of like we've teased you on it. But I'm going to take you quickly through there because we've got other stuff we want to talk about on the show. And we'll see where it goes with other callers. If you want to join the conversation, 504-260-0995. So here's what happened. This is, you know, the House passed it. There was few dissenters on that months ago when the House passed it, and it just sat there. And we didn't even hear news about it going, like, you know, is it going through committees in the Senate or anything? I haven't seen anything where, yeah, there was backroom arguments and stuff. I don't think there was any of that. I think this thing pretty much went with how the House passed it, because all of a sudden it's just connected. You're kind of like, are they ever going to do anything with it? And those that listen to the show, we've been warning you that this was going to become law. It's not if, but a matter of when. And for another day, we'll probably go through some of the money, because we talked about what potentially was what deferring RMDs to age 72 was going to cost the Treasury. But then on the other end, getting rid of the stretch, reducing it down to it's stretched over 10 years. So it's also one neat thing about it. I'll say a positive that you don't have to start taking RMDs. You have an RMD the last year. It's all of the money has to be out, essentially. So you're not under pressure to take money out immediately when you inherit the account. But just to be clear, we've got two sets of rules now. Those that died in 2019 and prior are grandfathered. those stretches and everything are still in place. If you die in 2020 or beyond under current law, yeah, the qualified money, that account value has to be taken out over 10 years. So that, you know what, it's just, I'm just now thinking about other plans and such people have inside a company plans and some state programs and such. I'm just thinking about those. Well, that's going to affect all of them as well, where they were maybe taking lifetime distributions. Very interesting on that. Okay, here's what happened. The Secure Act was passed, so it's effective right now. It eliminates the age limit for making traditional IRA contributions. So you don't have to stop adding to your IRA at age 70.
You still have to have the earned income to put it in though, right?
Right.
Okay.
As long as you have earned income, you can make contributions to your account. And if your income covers it, you can make contributions to your spouse's account as well. So once you do not have earned income, you can't add any to it. So that was a nice thing to add on for those continuing to work longer and wanting to save more. It also, number two, it increases the required minimum distribution age to 72. So basically it pushed it off for a year and a half. And I know a lot of people are going to like that. Not everybody wants to take money out or needs to at this point. They do not have to. So that was deferred. So that means in the year in which you turn age 72, you have to take a distribution from your qualified accounts.
That sounds a lot less complicated than the old rule.
So far, it seems a lot simpler. Number three, it allows penalty-free withdrawals for birth or adoption. And I believe that number is a max of 5,000 one time only. But if you have a situation, you can avoid the 10% early withdrawal penalties on taking money out early for those two purposes. Number four, allows taxable non-tuition fellowship and stipend payments to be treated as compensation to qualify for an IRA or Roth contribution. So it allows, once again, non-tuition fellowship and stipend payments to be counted as compensation, so that money could be put into a qualified account.
Now, I don't need all the details, but that's just a wonky classification of income.
Yes.
Okay.
Not sure why it was put in there.
Because it used to not be in there, but now it is.
But it is now.
Okay.
Number five provides employer liability protection for annuities in plans. So what you're going to see is annuities as options within company plans.
Now, that's one of the bigger changes. As far as your strategy goes.
I think it's really big and it gives people choices. Annuities also can be used to create pension-like income because annuities at the core, and you have two worlds annuities, variable and fixed. I'm not a big fan of variable because they're so darn expensive. Fixed, you typically don't see any fees on those, and you're using safe investment choices inside of fixed, meaning you're linking to, not investing in. But it gives you safe choices, and all annuities do one core thing, and they guarantee income. So that I think is a game changer for qualified plans.
It also seems like, just mathematically speaking, it would allow you to more efficiently follow the 50-50-50-50 plan.
Yeah, even inside the 401k as well. Absolutely. Great point there. It's really important because we talk about there's two major types of insurance that are important from our viewpoint. It's life insurance and annuities. Life insurance protect you from dying too soon, and annuities help protect you from living too long. So just think about that. So let's see. We actually spent a bunch of time on that. And then number six, it eliminates the stretch IRA. And what are we talking about there? The stretch for somebody that passed away in 2019, leaving that money behind, it's under the stretch rule, which means a non-spouse beneficiary has to start taking required minimum distributions year after death, and they can stretch it out over their lifetime. they don't have a certain window where they have to have it all out. They just take so much a year, and it's based on their age, and it goes up a little bit every year, but essentially they could take it out the rest of their life and never spend down the account. Well, elimination of the stretch. So if somebody dies in 2020 and beyond, there is no stretch. And there's a few exceptions, and one of them is the spouse, of course. And I'll go over the other ones in a moment. But what it basically means is there's no more stretch, so you have to take it all out within 10 years. So I'll jump over here. Here's the exceptions. These are exempt from the 10-year post-death payout rule. Number one, surviving spouse does not have to take it out over 10 years. They get the longer option. Number two is minor children, but not grandchildren, up to age of majority or legal age. So it's up to age of majority. That's when their 10-year clock starts once they reach adulthood. Disabled individuals still have the stretch opportunity. Number four, chronically ill. And the fifth is a beneficiary that's not more than 10 years younger than the IRA owner or plan employee. They're not having to do the 10-year spend down either.
Also, as an aside to this, not that this was necessarily part of the thought process, but when you've been encouraging people for years and years to put money away in different tax diverse situations, some of it pre-tax, some of it in a Roth account, some of it in just a regular old after-tax account, kind of shields the convulsions whenever you do have big rule changes like this, because it might not affect all your money. Maybe it'll just affect this bucket over here.
Yeah. And I was thinking about that earlier, especially like when John called, because I've talked about this often, and there's three kind of tax buckets, so to speak. And one of them is putting money away pre-tax. Problem with it, it's going to be taxed as ordinary income when it comes out of that, but that's one of your choices. The other is putting money away so that it is distributed tax-free, like the Roth as an example. And then the third is paying the taxes as you go on a step-up basis. If you've created balance, this is not as impactful, but under the system that we've had here, is it's incentivized to use qualified accounts, and people are overloading that. And it's also, it's convenient because it's done through your work.
504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Winning at Life, live financial news talk radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. Thanks for joining us this evening. We have a few minutes left in the show. Tomorrow, bring a friend and listen to Winning at Life. You can download the app as well. You can text, email, call us through that Winning at Life app. Let me jump on here and see if we have any at this time in from the app. None at this point, so we're caught up on that. Okay, so yeah, download that. You can listen to podcasts, and we do this weeknights at 7, and Saturday we have a 3-hour weekly wrap that we do from 10 to 1. And yeah, we like talking about money and taking your calls. 504-260-0995. What about the numbers? There we go.
The numbers.
I'm so excited to bring you the first numbers, not only of the year, but of the roaring 20s. And that's what it's called now because of all the days that we've had, every single one of them where the market's open, they've busted through record closes on all three indices. And you know, that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but it's true. All three indices, the Dow Jones rallied 330 points, 1.1%, reached an all-time high. NASDAQ added 0.8%, finished at an all-time high. S&P 500 added 1.3%. All three of the major averages closed in record territory, picking right up where they left off for 2019. This is the fastest start to the year for the Dow since 2013. Also interesting, Gregory, I know you love these numbers. We swim in numbers. We get to know what the markets did now officially for 2019. So last year, the S&P gained 28.9%, NASDAQ 35.2%, Dow 22.3%. definitely a winning year on Wall Street.
Awesome. Love numbers like that. And I don't know. I'm really optimistic. I had the question today. It's like, well, what do you think's going to happen in 2020? I said, you know, I think it's a promising year. You know, things could change with that. You know, my outlook is things are going to continue. You know, the jobs numbers are going to stay well. People are at work. More people are. And, you know, I've talked to business people lately. You know, they said, we're having trouble hiring people. We need to hire people. You know, so that's good signs of things that are coming along. China looks like they're going to do a deal, which is promising as well. They even set a date. That's part of the market's upside today, is they've set a date for this phase one.
January 15th deal. Is someone's supposed to put pen to paper and sign something at some point January 15th.
Yeah. So I'm looking now, I'm not trying to put a low, we're going to make 30% this year or whatever. I just will put it this way. I think we have a chance for having a pretty good year in 2020, and it may be the start of the roaring 20s. How long that goes, I don't know, but if it'll roar for a few years, let's let it roar. Okay, 10-year treasuries, 1.877% is where we start the year out at. And hopefully this is a year that the market does well and we get back above, somewhere above 2% on 10-year treasuries. That'd be one of my wish lists for 2020, is seeing interest rates move up a bit.
That should be their New Year's resolution for the 10-year treasury.
Yeah. Crude oil. Now, it's a little bit higher. Reserves were drawn down a little bit. So we're looking at $61.69 a barrel for crude. Brent crude, you know, that good stuff, is $66.88 a barrel. Gold is starting the year above $1,500. You know, we ended the year kind of below it, but we're at $1,534.40 on gold. Silver is cranking out once again, starting the year above $18. So we're at $18.11 on silver.
The short sheet has one gigantic highlight you need to know about, and that is the great storyline that is continuing from Apple. It hit a record high today and crossed the $300 level for the first time, and it stayed there. It's not like it touched it and it's like, oh, I better go back underwater. And you're seeing so many of these other big stocks. If they're not at records, they're close to it. Amazon's almost back to $2,000. 1898 is where it finished. Netflix at $329. And when we were talking about it on the show the first time, it was under $100. Gregory's telling you it's going to be a $200 stock. We sound like such babies, though. That was like 2011. You know, that was like 1,000 years ago, it feels like. And here it is, $329. Netflix, they grow up so fast, don't they, Gregory?
Yeah, and everybody was saying Netflix is done because others are joining them in the streaming game, and I don't believe they're done. Not quite yet, and others are saying the same thing because its stock's moving up. Tell you, one of the surprisers I see is Tesla. Those short sellers are crushed, huh?
How is this stock at 430?
Well, I guess because he's building cars in Shanghai or
China now. Yeah. That's fine. Let them steal all your technology and undercut you, Elon. What could possibly go wrong? So I don't know if I'm more confused about Tesla, because it's not like they're making money hand over fist. I don't know if I'm more confused about that or Boeing. Boeing was up 2.3% today. And the only thing I could find on Boeing that was new that came out today was we got the numbers. Airbus delivered a record 863 aircraft in 2019 that made Airbus the top plane maker of the year. So this is based on some information that I'm not privy to.
How many did Boeing build last year? Do you know?
They didn't say over.
Well, we know they built more than they delivered. We'll put it that way.
Right. It doesn't even really matter how many they built, how many of them are actually in service. And don't they have like 89 of them parked in some desert in Nevada, just waiting for someone, please come buy these Maxes, please.
Well, being there building, let's just call it at the rate of 40 a month, and you know they've been parked. So, James, they have hundreds of planes
with no one to buy them.
Hundreds of planes parked that have been built and not delivered.
We should park them in the Chinese ghost cities, because they deserve to be together. They're like a marriage. They have a bunch of cities that no one's lived in with a bunch of planes that no one's ever going to fly in. Y'all should just be boyfriend and girlfriend.
Well, here's my prediction for Boeing this year.
Okay.
Is those planes will be flying later this year.
Ooh. Starting the first show of the year with the bold prediction. Angie, mark that down. Mark that down.
Boeing's going to get planes back, those 737s back in the air.
Angie, for real, send me a note. I'll pull that, and when Boeing does, we'll look really smart that we did that. All right, so that's about going to wrap up our first numbers.
Yeah, I know. I was taking some chances with that one.
That's cool. And look, if you're wrong, we'll never mention it again. But I found a cool thing. I just got to pass this along. Both, I'm talking just as much to Gregory as I am the guy listening right now, Gregory, because you haven't seen this either. But a statistician wrote a little opinion piece that ended up on Fox Business, and I found this fascinating. The guy's name is Noah Berman, and he starts with a couple of stats. Over 80% of New Year's resolutions fail by February 1st. 95% of them fail by March 1st. Okay? So our buddy here, Noah Berman, being a statistician, did some digging to try and find the ways from a statistician's point of view on how to best keep your New Year's Eve, and he's got three for you. Three places where the numbers, it changes the tide on the success rate. Number one is when you make your resolution, don't be vague, be specific. Don't say, I want to lose weight this year. Say, all right, I need to lose 50 pounds. You know, put a number on it so you actually have a goal to get to, not just the ethereal concept of I'm going to read more books. Say, no, I'm going to read 12 books. And then his second one, the second piece of advice he has is to take that more specific resolution and break it into smaller parts. So now you don't say, all right, I'm going to lose 50 pounds this year. You really say, I'm going to lose 4 pounds a month. Okay, 5 pounds a month. And your brain accepts that a lot easier than it accepts 50 pounds over the course of a year. For some reason, it's the same numbers. And then the third thing he says, the third best way to keep your New Year's resolution is the buddy system. It's not nearly as effective as the first two, but it's still more effective than a lot of the other things he ran stats on. So if you have someone that you and him are losing 5 pounds a month, or you and your coworker, you're going to read a book per month instead of 12 books a year. I'm going to read one book per month. Doesn't even have to be the same book. The fact that you have a human being that you're accountable to tends to make people keep their resolution.
Are you saying that's what you're going to do?
Heck no, I'm not doing any of that stuff. I'm going to gain weight, read less, probably go into more debt. But no, that's
the opposite. Yeah. See how much bad you can. Dude.
Hey, I'm not eating black-eyed peas this year. My mother-in-law talked me out of it. Did I tell you this? We go to her house for the last 10 years. We've gone to her house on New Year's Day to eat black-eyed peas. We went yesterday. She said, I didn't make any. I said, why not? She's like, they're not working. You know what? You're right. I'm not eating
them
either.
What about the cabbage?
No cabbage. If it was working, we'd still do it, but it's not. So we're going to try food we like better. How about that?
Well, I can tell you what, it works for me not doing it, because I can't tell you when I last had black-eyed peas, and I don't know if I've ever had cabbage. So
I think I've just been eating trash food for nothing. Go ahead.
Hey, if you want to attend one of the events we have coming up, call the office. And if you want to come see us at the office, here's the office number. Ring us up, 504-832-9200, GregoryRicks.com.
Your home away from the show is winningatlife.com and the Winning at Life app. I'm James Parker. We're Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Investment advisory services offered only by duly registered individuals through AE Wealth Management, LLC. AE Wealth Management, Gregory Ricks & Associates, W.J. Blanchard Law, LLC, J. Heath & Company, and Mortgage Gumbo are not affiliated companies. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying abilities of the issuing carrier. This radio show is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Annuities are insurance contracts designed for retirement or other long-term needs. They provide guarantees of principal and credited interest, subject to surrender charges. Annuity guarantees and protections are backed by the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing insurer. Hypothetical examples have been provided for illustrative purposes only. It does not represent a real-life scenario and should not be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Gregory Ricks & Associates is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during the show shall constitute legal or tax advice. Our firm is not affiliated or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by Gregory Ricks & Associates. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.